Well, good morning, ladies. Welcome, Jesse and Maggie, and everyone else who's young at heart, listening to us here in the congregation, online, or on the radio. So today, with Time with Young Disciples, Pastor Jim is going to be taking us into the story of Nicodemus. So I have to say, when I was reviewing the story of Nicodemus, there were some things I had really forgotten about the story. But to understand who Nicodemus was, we need to kind of understand the world in which Nicodemus lived. So who was the occupying military force in ancient Israel, that area of the world during the time of Jesus? Do you remember what culture, what country, what force occupied the area? That's a very good question. So this entire area, just like a lot of the Mediterranean and what we now call Europe, was controlled by Rome, the Roman Empire, right? It was a major empire. It lasted over 1,000 years, right? And so Rome had a tradition that the Romans would come in, occupy an area, and as long as Rome got resources from that area, specifically also taxes, and as long as they were able to make armies that they called legions from the soldiers of that area, Rome would give that area some freedom to continue conducting their laws and rules and running their culture. And this was true for this area as well. So you know a little bit about this, because if you remember the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, who was a Roman ruler that Jesus even had to appear in front of during the crucifixion of Jesus? Do you remember these names?
I mean, the only name I can remember is Pontius Pilate.
Oh, great job. That's right, Pontius Pilate. So Pontius Pilate was a Roman ruler over that area, but he was above then the Jewish control, King Herod. And also part of that was this organization called the Sanhedrin. Now the Sanhedrin is kind of like a really big Supreme Court for us. It was the final place that the folks who had arguments about the rules and the laws of the area would come and get those settled. Now, the Sanhedrin lasted for hundreds of years, and it was mainly made up of people called Sadducees. Sadducees were kind of like the ruling elite, and these were Jewish folk that dealt a lot with the Romans and made the whole government and area run in that area. But there was a smaller group in the Sanhedrin of people called Pharisees, and these Pharisees were high priests who spent their entire life receiving a lot of education, a lot of training, and a lot of practice. And they were like the top status of the Jewish folk, right? They had relatively nice lives for that time period, right? And they were seen as folks kind of in charge. Well, this is where we meet Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of those rare Pharisees that are in the Sanhedrin. They actually called Nicodemus the teacher of Israel, the teacher of Israel. And that's how we know a bit more about Nicodemus than we would just from the Gospel of John. So Nicodemus was one of these elite people. And then Nicodemus, as Pastor Jim is going to be talking about today, searched out Jesus at night. Now, this is something I had forgotten about the story of Nicodemus. So he came to see Jesus at night, and his goal was to ask Jesus many, many questions that Nicodemus had about Jesus and his power and his position and maybe what his future plans were for Israel, right? Well, that conversation didn't go exactly as Nicodemus planned, as we're going to hear in the scripture. But what's also interesting about Nicodemus is that we run into him again and again in the gospel. And that doesn't happen very often for folks who aren't those that are very close to Jesus, like the disciples. But we hear from Nicodemus two more times. During Jesus' earthly ministry here on earth, Nicodemus appears again after this night of questions with Jesus that, frankly, Nicodemus ends up being more confused about, I think, than clarified. But after this night, Nicodemus appears again in the gospel, and he openly defends Jesus in the halls of power. Remember the Sanhedrin, right? Now, that had to be pretty risky for Nicodemus to take those steps, because the Pharisees were not too happy with Jesus and the fact that a lot of things might get changed and the fact that he wasn't the Messiah that they had planned for Israel, right? And then Nicodemus appears again. And at this time, Nicodemus appears as he carefully takes care of the body of Jesus as it's taken down from the cross and prepared for burial. And this is a moment where we get to see Nicodemus three times through the course of Jesus' ministry. Now, in the old ancient traditions of the church, in the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox churches, right? The Orthodox churches are the very old churches in countries like Ukraine, Russia, Greece, Syria. Those are the Orthodox traditions. And then the Roman Catholic Church, they had saints. They still have saints. And these saints are folks that you can pray to who were great examples of faith, and they can help guide your relationship with God. Well, we're Protestants, and the Protestant tradition doesn't venerate saints. In fact, we believe in the sainthood of all believers. All of us can find a special relationship, but most importantly, we go directly to God. We don't go through a certain place through a certain very specific set of rituals. We don't have to go through certain people. We don't have to go through saints. We don't even have to go through priests or preachers. Although we really appreciate preachers. Preachers are great. But we go directly to God with our questions, with our concerns. But one interesting thing about the tradition of venerated saints is that saints were kind of the support and guidance for a very particular thing in life. And that's not part of our tradition as Protestants, but so you might have a saint in charge of a certain aspect. So Nicodemus was made a saint in the Orthodox and Catholic tradition, and Nicodemus is the saint of pallbearers. Now, who are pallbearers?
All I'm hearing is bears.
No, they fortunately don't have much to do with bears. Pallbearers are the folks that carry our recently deceased in and out of our funerals, right? They have a special tradition and a special role. And Saint Nicodemus is also saint of all those who take care of the recently dead. Nicodemus is also the patron saint of curiosity. I think that's pretty cool. There's a patron saint of curiosity, and it's Nicodemus. Why do you think?
Because he was questioning, like, who God is and what his actual plans are.
Right. He approached God. He pursued Jesus, even despite some of the risks. And he brought those questions directly to Jesus. Now, it's unclear at the beginning if Nicodemus really knew what he was asking and to whom he was asking it. But it does seem that that had a lasting effect on the life of Nicodemus, at least as much as we can know. And for that, he has been made the patron saint of curiosity. Now, while we tonight won't be praying to the saints, we can respect their traditions and the examples laid out by some of these venerated saints. And so I think it's a powerful statement about where we go with our questions. We can go directly to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes these questions. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of curiosity. May we see it as a sacred gift. Lord, thank you for our questions. Thank you for the ability to take these questions directly to you through Jesus, your Son, through the support of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us not fear questions. Let us be bold in our questions. Let us be direct and help us to seek you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.